overall majorities say they go to their parents for advice at least sometimes about their financial situation, their career or job situation, parenting their own children if they themselves are parents, and their physical health. Less commonly, they're going to their parents for advice on friendships or their dating life, romantic relationships.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bite Your Tongue, the podcast. I'm Denise.
And I'm Kirsten. And we hope you will join us as we explore the ins and outs of building healthy relationships with our adult children.
Together, we'll speak with experts, share heartfelt stories, and get timely advice addressing topics that matter most to you.
Get ready to dive deep and learn to build and nurture deep connections with our adult children and, of course, when to bite our tongues.
So let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bite Your Tongue, the podcast. I have to tell you, over the last few weeks, more and more listeners have written to us to tell us about articles they've read about the new Pew Research study on young adults. The report was titled Parents, Young Adults, and the Transition to Adulthood. You know, Kirsten, it seems like they did this study just for our podcast.
All of the major media have been picking up on this story from different angles because there's so much in it. The Wall Street Journal had a headline, was well into adulthood and still getting money from their parents. The New York Times had an opinion piece, how involved do you expect to be in your young adult life? The other one was parents are highly involved in their adult children's lives and they are fine with it.
So I guess the parents are fine with it. I wonder how the kids feel. It was funny when listeners would email me, I'd be able to email them back and say, we're on it. We've got an interview scheduled with the lead researcher on this study. So we are so happy to have her with us today and learn more about this and really more about all the findings, not just what the media is reporting about and so much more.
Yes, we are thrilled today to welcome to Bite Your Tongue, Rachel Minkin. Rachel was one of the key researchers on this study who contributed in examining parents, young adults, and the transition to adulthood. For those of you who may not know Pew Research Center, it is a nonpartisan fact tank that informs the public about issues. This is probably the latest study done on young adult transition to adulthood. So please listen up. You're going to get a lot of timely and useful information.
Isn't that the truth? And we should let you know, this is a little different than most of our episodes. It's more statistical. So put your math caps on so you can figure out what she's talking about today. So welcome, Rachel. We're just thrilled to have you. And we'd love to know, before we get into some specific questions, why your team decided to research this topic. And also, can you tell us a little bit about the study group, how they were selected? Because I have to say, I was a little surprised about some of your findings.
So my team at Pew Research Center studies social and demographic trends, and one key area for us is the family. Last year, we published a report on parents with children under 18 and wanted to understand after that the parent-child relationship as they move into the age group of 18 to 34, a time when young adults are entering adulthood and maybe experiencing several key milestones. So does that change the relationship? How do parents and young adults think about it? For this study, we surveyed 3,017 parents with at least one young adult child, age 18 to 34, they have any contact with, and 1,495 young adults, 18 to 34, with at least one living parent they are in contact with. And this excludes any young adults who are currently in high school. So we ran the survey for 2 weeks in October to November 2023.
So tell us about diversity, socioeconomic diversity. How do you know you're getting a really diverse group? I know Pew Research Center is like one of the largest research centers, but our listeners, including me, don't understand how you do it.
The survey was run on the American Trends Panel, which is Pew Research Center's nationally representative online survey panel. And so with that, we're able to gather panelists really representative of the U.S. and then, along with best survey practices, weighting the data to make sure that it reflects American adults generally. We're seeing Americans from all walks of life and can look at it by income, can look at it by different demographic breaks to understand the different experiences of Americans in these groups, parents and young adults.
How long does it take you after the 2 weeks to go through all of these different things to come up with the report?
It can really vary, certainly in when we want to be sure that the data is out there. With this project, over several weeks and months, we can really dig into what are the differences we're seeing in the data. What story is this telling? From October to November 2023, and this report came out in January. We were really going through that process and writing up our findings.
That's really interesting.
After you are done with all of that, does somebody synthesize it in terms of what it might mean, or you put it out there and then the media picks it up and does what they're going to do with it?
The first page of a report is where we want to put that overview, that broad, what is the context for this report? What are we kind of seeing? Is this adding to the conversation and pulling out those key findings that we have in the data? And then we're able to dig into each of those findings, each of those points of view. We have a chapter for the young adult's perspective. We have a chapter for the parent's perspective and different areas where we can think about things in more fine grained. We want to provide that general overview of what we found and where we think it's making a statement for the general conversation. And then we see in the response to it how people are thinking about a lot of these topics.
So what are the key findings? Tell us from your point of view, what are the things that floated to the top of the study?
Lots of interesting data here. It was really interesting to hear from these different perspectives of parents and young adults. Some general key findings are that parents are highly invested in their young adult children's lives. 71% of parents say their children's successes and failures reflect on the job they've done as parents. And 86% say they did at least a fair amount to prepare their children to be independent adults. Majorities of both parents and young adults rate the relationship highly. There's frequent communication, with majorities of both groups saying they text their parent or their child at least a few times a week. And young adults are generally fine with their parents' level of involvement in their day-to-day lives.
One of the things we talk about a lot on this podcast is how parents feel, the guilt they feel if their kid is not able to get a job or isn't able to succeed. So I think you found that a lot of parents feel like it's a reflection on their parenting. Did you dig any deeper into that? What kinds of feelings they had or anything like that? Or was it just that X percent felt like it was a reflection on their parenting?
We didn't dig too much deeper into that. We do see that in terms of how much they prepared their young adults to be independent adults, that question was asked broadly. So really, the respondents could be thinking of several different dimensions, many different dimensions on how they prepared their young adults to be independent adults. We do see differences in the perspectives of young adults and parents. So 66% of young adults say their parents prepared them at least a fair amount to be an independent adult, compared with 86% of parents
said they did at least a fair amount
in preparing their young adults. But the responses of both young adult and parents vary by income too. Large majorities of young adults with upper middle incomes say their parents did at least a fair amount, and a smaller share of young adults with lower income say this. Among parents, it's really in that sense of having done a great deal. So upper income parents are more likely than those with middle and lower incomes to say they did a great deal to prepare their children to be independent adults.
I think that's interesting. That leads into the media has picked up on the financially independent. And so while we have raised these children and we've done a lot to help prepare them, so many are still financially dependent on their parents.
We do see differences across the age of the young adults in those who are getting financial help. So 68% of adults younger than 25 say they've received financial help in the last year, to 30% among those 30 to 34. We also see this in terms of them saying that they're financially independent, that youngest age group. 16% say they're completely financially independent, goes up to 67% among those 30 to 34. Those who aren't completely financially independent, 75% say it's extremely or very likely that they eventually will be. And parents have similar views. They see their young adults are going to be completely financially independent someday.
There was a part that talked about where parents that were helping some of their kids were hurting their own savings. They might feel like they've prepared them for adulthood, but they're giving money and yet still not saving as much as they need to save for retirement. So what did you find in that area?
We asked parents if they gave financial help to any of their adult children, 18 to 34. So we see with parents, 59% say they gave financial help to any of their adult children in that age group in the past year. parents with upper and middle incomes are more likely than those with lower incomes to say they've given financial help to their children in the past year. And the impact, we see those income differences too. But overall, we see that 64% of parents who gave financial help to their adult children say doing so didn't hurt their personal financial situation much or at all. And then there's that 36% who say it did hurt their personal financial situation at least some. There are these differences by income. As I mentioned, about half of parents with lower incomes who say they provided financial help to their young adult children in the past year say it hurt their own finances at least some, and smaller shares of those with middle and upper incomes say the same.
And I think you mentioned earlier how the climate has changed. I'd love to know a little bit more about that, why you think kids are depending more on their parents now today than before. And then I want to ask you, what are the kinds of things parents are paying for?
We don't have trends in our survey to understand young adults over time getting financial help from their parents or being completely financially independent. But we did look at government data to understand how the circumstances for young adults today compared with young adults 30 years ago when their parents were about the same age. So we see that young adults today are doing better in some ways and facing other economic challenges in other ways. They're more likely to be working full time, but they also have more debt. They're more likely to have student loans and owe more. They owe more in mortgage debt. But we see that in terms of working full time and attending college, young women have made bigger gains than young men for that gender piece.
And then what kinds of things are you finding that the kids are needing money for when they are getting support from their parents?
We found that overall 44% of adults 18 to 34 with a living parent say they received financial help from their parents in the last 12 months. And the top two areas where they received financial help were household expenses and their cell phone bill or streaming services. We see 28% of all young adults say they receive financial help for household expenses such as groceries or utilities. 25% say their cell phone bill or subscriptions to streaming services. Smaller shares of adults in this age group say they receive financial help related to their rent or mortgage, medical expenses, education, such as school or college tuition. Again, we see here that it varies widely by age in this wide age group. So the youngest age group, 18 to 24, are the most likely to say they've gotten financial help in each area.
The media globbed on to fewer than half of adults ages 18 to 34 say they are completely financial independent. But when you look at the breakdown of ages, the 18 to 23-year-old very well could still be in their parents' home, going to college nearby. Naturally, they're still getting some support. And I think that was the way it was 30 years ago, too, until the kid got their first real full-time job. So even though the media globbed on to these big headlines on the front of the Wall Street Journal that said fewer than half of all adults ages 18 to 34 financially dependent on their parents, it's not really the case when you reach the ages where they start really being financially independent, right?
Yes, we see. So that overall number, 45% of 18 to 34-year-olds say they're completely financially independent from their parents. But this goes from 16% among those 18 to 24 to 67% say they're completely financially independent among those 30 to 34.
That makes sense.
We do want to talk about more than just money today. And I was shocked to read that one in four parents say that they track their adult child's location with GPS apps, even if only rarely, and that daughters are tracked more than sons. This was a little bit of a shocker, even though I do require it when my kids are traveling across country. But yeah, how are these kids going to be independent if parents are tracking them? Were you surprised by this?
When we asked parents if they ever track their adult child's location through GPS apps or software, 25% say they track their child's location at all. But very few actually do this frequently, just 6%. 12% say sometimes, 7% say rarely. And we do see that there are differences by the age of the adult child. So most of the tracking is done of the youngest group. 42% of parents say they ever track a child 18 to 24, and then smaller shares say this about a child in older age groups. 21%.
I'm curious, you said that the study you did right before this was on the younger group. Was that even a bigger number of parents tracking? Or was that not asked?
We did not ask that question in that survey, but we have another team at Pew Research Center has studied that. I would have to look up the...
No, right, that's fine. I was just curious about the parents who start tracking when their kids are, let's say, 16, just got their driver's license, and whether that number carries or decreases. I think that would be kind of an interesting for later. Or
the kid forgets that their parent has them on GPS, whatever that right. finds your, I've never done it, but recently I was with my daughter and her husband was going somewhere and she said, well, let me see if he's gotten there. She could just go in and find out where they are at all times. It was sort of shocking to me. How does anyone cheat on their wife or spouse anymore? Anyway, I'm teasing. All right. So I want to ask a question. Actually, I'm going to make an observation. So it was surprising to me that 77% of your parents said that they had an excellent or good relationship with their adult child. I imagine those are strong words. I imagine that's probably true, that they have a decent relationship with their adult child. From our podcast, it seems everyone's trying to get a little bit better relationship. Do you ever find, and I don't even know if you can answer this, that people will answer, oh, yes, I have an excellent relationship with my kid because that makes them feel better? Or how honest do you think people really are when they're answering these questions? Do you guys have any idea?
There is research into that about how respondents might respond to certain questions. Certainly with all the work that we've done to be sure that our questions can be easily answerable by respondents. They're doing it online and can answer in the way that they feel fits. This question also was a general question asked to them to rate overall their relationship with their parent and with their young adult. We asked both groups this question. So we see that young adults are also generally positive about their relationship with their parent. A majority say it's excellent or very good, 32% saying excellent, another 28% saying it's very good. And then parents rate their relationship highly as well. 41% say it's excellent, 36% say very good.
Did this vary by age group at all, or was it across the board 18 to 34?
We don't see differences by age here. It's among parents, we see differences by gender and income and child circumstances, which we do see in terms of child's financial independence, a difference there among who is most likely to say they're completely financially independent by age. But on the young adult side, they're more likely to say their relationship is excellent or very good when they're talking about their mom than talking about their dad, 63% when answering about a mom, and 53% when answering about a dad. And most of this is driven by young women who are more likely to rate their relationship highly when they're answering about their mother than their father. There wasn't that gender difference among young men answering about a mother or father. For parents, we also see this gender difference that mothers are somewhat more likely than fathers to say their relationship with their adult child is excellent. And upper income parents are more likely to say this than parents with middle or lower incomes. When I was saying about this, the child circumstances, that's parents answering about a young adult who is completely financially independent are more likely to say their relationship is excellent than those whose kids are not saying they're completely financially independent.
So you asked a lot of questions about advice. Let's move to that. Tell us what you found in the advice area, the parents and the kids. Or kids are coming to their parents for advice. It seemed to vary by age group on how much and the kind of advice. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, so we were thinking about all the milestones, decisions, experiences young adults may face across this age range of 18 to 34 and see different areas of advice they're going to their parents for, their differences by the age of the adult child. Overall, majorities say they go to their parents for advice at least sometimes about their financial situation, their career or job situation, parenting their own children if they themselves are parents, and their physical health. Less commonly, they're going to their parents for advice on friendships or their dating life, romantic relationships. The youngest adults, those 18 to 24, are the most likely to regularly turn to their parents for advice on their finances and careers, as well as their physical health and friendships.
The part that really stood out for me was this part about how well they think they know their parents and how well their parents know who their child really is. Because I wonder, do we ever really know our kids as independent adults? And do they ever really know us as real adults? So what did you find in that area?
Yeah, we see a 69% majority of young adults say they can be their true self around their parent all or most of the time. And young adults are more likely to say they can be their true self all or most of the time when they're saying this, they're answering about their mom than about their dad. So 73% of young adults say this when answering about their mom versus 64% about their dad. Again, this is mostly driven by young women who are more likely to say they can be their true self when answering about their mom than when answering about their dad. There was no difference in the answers among young men answering about a mom or a dad. We also asked them how well they feel they know their parents beyond their role as a parent.
Yeah.
And about half of young adults say they think they know their parent extremely or very well. Another 37% say they know their parent somewhat well, and 15% say they don't know them too well or at all. Again, we see that they're more likely to say they know their mother extremely or very well than their father. There's a similar pattern among parents. A majority of parents say their child knows them extremely or very well, and moms are more likely than dads to say their child knows them extremely well. This is particularly the case when moms are answering about a daughter to say that their child knows them extremely well, compared to moms answering about a son, and responses don't differ by the gender of their child.
I'm surprised that there's such a difference in almost all your research on the mother-dad, father-mother situation. I wonder how that will change over the years with men taking more of a shared role in raising children. It'll be interesting when you do your next study, Rachel. I think your next study should be 28 to 40, something like that, because there's such a difference between 18-year-olds and 34-year-olds in terms of what their relationship is with their parents. One of the parts of the study that was the hardest for me to hear was, and maybe I misinterpreted it, was how much the parents feel the success of their child is because of their parenting. So tell us a little bit about that part of the study.
Sure. We find that 71% of parents say the successes and failures of their young adult children reflect on the job they've done as parents, a great deal or a fair amount. And this includes 35% who say it does so a great deal. There are differences here in the responses of mothers and fathers. Fathers are more likely than mothers to say their young adult successes and failures reflect on the job they've done as a parent a great deal or a fair amount, though majorities of both say this. There are differences by income as well. So upper income parents are the most likely to see it this way, to say that the successes and failures of their young adult children reflect on their parenting.
And so many therapists tell us, just do your best. It's not always your fault. Yet when they answer this question, and I think I would probably answer it that way too, but it's hard to hear because so much of it falls back on our shoulders. I want you to talk about kids living with their parents, because that's looked down upon sometimes. And yet your study found, you know what? It could be pretty positive.
Right. We asked those young adults living at home and parents with a young adult child living in their house, what impact that has on their relationship with one another and their personal financial situation. And we also asked a few other areas of young adults' lives that might be impacted by living at home. So in terms of personal finances, 64% of young adults who live with a parent say their living arrangement has had a very or somewhat positive impact on their personal financial situation. In turn, just 27% of parents who live with a young adult child say the same about their impact on their own finances. And for parents, we see 55% saying the impact has been neither positive nor negative. But in terms of finances too, we see that young adults who live with their parents say they contribute financially to the household in some way. 65% say they pay for some household expenses, and 46% say they contribute money toward the rent or mortgage. We also asked about the impact on their relationship with one another. And most parents who live with a young adult child say this has had a positive impact on their relationship with their child. 74% say it's been positive, 5% say it's been negative, and 21% say it's been neither positive nor negative. That's larger than the share of young adults who say living with their parent as an adult has been positive for the relationship. 55% say it's been positive, 19% say it's been negative, and 26% say it's been neither positive nor negative. We see some mixed views too for young adults on the impact living with a parent has had on their sense of independence or social life.
And to that, what does the research say or explain about young adults' attitudes and feelings about marriage and their own parenthood? Because I'm sure that changes things a little bit, maybe from when we were starting out and having children. Can you summarize for us what stood out to you in the study?
We asked young adults ages 18 to 34 who have never been married and who don't have children whether they'd like to do these things in the future. And 69% of young adults who have never been married say they want to get married someday. 51% who don't have children say they want to have children someday. And among those who don't have children, young men are more likely than young women to say they want to have children in the future, though we don't see this gender difference in desire to get married.
That surprised me that the men are more interested in having children than the women.
Yes. we don't see that in terms of desire to get married. I will say that in another study from 2023, we found that young adults, like American adults of all ages, tend to prioritize job satisfaction and having close friends in order to live a fulfilling life over being married or having children. In that data, we don't see young men and women having different views there. Young men and women are equally likely to prioritize things over marriage and children.
It's interesting. I think you found out a lot about delaying marriage, delaying children. Tell us about what their life trajectory is looking like.
Yeah. So looking at government data, we could compare young adults today with those 30 years ago when their parents were about the same age. We see these trends that young adults today are getting married later, they're having children later, or they're less likely to have a child living in their household. Looking at that, among adults ages 18 to 24, only 7% were married in 2023, compared with 18% 30 years earlier. And there's even bigger differences among young adults ages 25 to 29. 29% of whom were married in 2023, compared with 50% in 1993.
Huge difference.
Yep. And there's a drop among the 30, 34-year-olds too, going from 63% in 1993 to 51% today.
I wanted to ask you, is there anything, again, you look like a young adult to me, Rachel, is there anything that really popped out at you as a surprising statistic that we want to make sure our listeners hear about before we close? Then we're going to ask you for two takeaways, two things that would help them understand their adult kids a little bit more with a few numbers.
Sure. We talked about that frequent communication among young adults and parents. Just want to go back to the data to show that there's majorities of both young adults and parents are texting with each other a few times a week or more. Smaller but substantial shares are saying they talk on the phone or video chat at least a few times a week. And young adults are generally okay with this level of communication and involvement in their lives. 66% majority of young adults say they communicate with their parents about as often as they'd like. And about 7 in 10 young adults say their parent is as involved in their day-to-day lives as they would like them to be. For the remainder in each case, higher shares of young adults say they communicate less often with their parent and their parent is less involved than they'd like them to be, than say they communicate more often or their parent is more involved than they'd like them to be.
What's the percentage of the people that say their parent's less involved than they'd like them to be?
In terms of involvement, 22% of young adults say their parent is less involved than they'd like them to be, and 9% say their parent is more involved than they'd like them to be.
Was there any difference on socioeconomic level or race or anything on that one?
We see a difference in terms of when they're answering about a father or a mother. Mm-hmm. So young adults answering about their father are more likely than those answering about their mother to say they communicate less often than they'd like. 37% say less often with their father, compared with 20% saying it's less often with their mother. Right. Just to clarify, with the father too, it's a similar pattern, being less involved or so with their father than.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think mothers are just nosier.
Well, that, and I wonder too, if that's changed, let's say, from today versus 30 years ago.
Well, there was no texting or video chatting, or you had to pay for a long distance call. We were lucky to talk once a week. So I think texting and video chatting and all that has changed a lot of things, don't you?
We do see that moms are more likely than dads to say they text with or talk on the phone with their child at least a few times a week.
That makes sense. All right. A couple takeaways that you think are a couple statistics that it's really important for our listeners to understand that will help them understand their adult children a little bit better.
First, we see that parents are very involved in their young adult children's lives. There's frequent communication, and a majority of parents say they've helped their young adult child financially in the past year. Most young adults are fine with their parents' level of involvement in their lives. A majority say their parents are about as involved in their day-to-day lives as they'd like them to be. Only 9% say their parents are too involved. And majorities of young adults say they turn to their parents for advice at least sometimes on their jobs, finances, and their physical health. In many cases, mothers stand out as particularly connected with their young adult children. Moms are in more frequent contact with their young adult children than dads are. And moms and daughters are especially closely connected, with many relying on each other for emotional support.
That's great. Rachel, thank you so much. I really hope you'll do your next study on 25 or 28 to 35 or something like that, or even to 40. Are you allowed to tell us what you're working on now or not?
We'll continue to study the family. And I think you're getting at something that's of interest to us as well in future work is how does this relationship develop over the life course?
Right.
Especially as adult children have their own children and maybe caring for aging parents. And what is the experience of parents as their child has children or is aging as well? So looking at that across the ages and seeing how the relationship develops and changes.
Well, thank you. I feel like you've done such a great job because I know this was hard for you because we wanted a lot of the meat underneath the statistics. And we were warned you can't give that to us. You're the statistics gal. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was great talking with you.
Thank you as well for joining. I personally, as the numbers geek, I love all of it. It's fascinating to me. I just want to dig a little deeper. So thank you so much for giving us at least that layer. Well, that's a wrap.
It's surprising to me that so many people are studying this now. I think there's a real interest in this generation and how they're proceeding through life.
There's a lot of research there, and it's a little difficult, I know, to extrapolate what it all means, but I think we get the idea. I think that the technology has really allowed us to have much better conversations with our kids than what we were able to do with our parents. And I was thinking, I actually do talk to my mom every day. We text every single morning. It's kind of how I know that things are okay and I can then go on with my day.
Thank you to all our listeners for listening. Thank you also to Connie Gort Fisher, our audio engineer. And also a big thanks to all of you who have bought us a virtual cup of coffee. Please remember that you can buy a membership now. You can literally become a Bite Your Tongue member. And it's just $5 a month and you can do it on our website, biteyourtonguepodcast.com. Help keep us going. Have a great day. And remember,
sometimes you just have to bite your tongue.